NPR.
Programming on Minnesota Public Radio is supported by the Edward R. Bazinet Foundation, dedicated to supporting issues concerning families and children.
6 minutes now past 11 o'clock. Good morning and welcome to Midday on Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Gary Eichten. Glad you could join us. Most Minnesota sports fans have a pretty narrow focus this week. The big football game in New York on Sunday, which could put the Minnesota Vikings in the Super Bowl. But some Minnesotans also have their sights set on a longer-range sports project, namely how to make sure that Minnesota keeps its Major League Baseball team. Last night, a citizens panel put together by the Minnesota Twins issued a report that argues that the state could lose the team unless a new ballpark is built, and unless Major League Baseball itself changes its financial structure so teams like the Twins can actually compete with or without a new ballpark. The plan breaks some new ground, at least in terms of how much money it would require the Twins to spend on a new ballpark, but it also raises the prospect of a renewed debate over the use of public money of any sort to help pay for a new stadium. And the report is being released at a time when the Minnesota Vikings are also pushing hard for a new stadium with public money involved. Today on Midday, we've been joined by a co-chair of Minnesotans for Major League Baseball to talk about that report. We'll also be opening the phone lines for your questions. But first of all, let's find out more about the report that was issued last night. Here's Minnesota Public Radio's William Wilcoxon.
Last summer, the Twins put together the panel of more than 130 Minnesotans from business, political, legal, academic, and athletic circles. A smaller steering committee wrote the group's report. For years, Twins owner Carl Pohlad and other executives have been saying the team needs the additional revenue a new ballpark could provide to compete with its high-rolling peers in the baseball industry. But their attempts to gain public funding through the legislature and the polling place have fallen far short. Former University of Minnesota Regent Tom Reagan, who co-chaired Minnesotans for Major League Baseball, says some group members did not accept the need for a new ballpark 6 months ago, but they do now. Reagan says the conclusion comes from independent study without pressure from the Twins. In fact, Reagan says some parts of the group's report may not be what the Twins hoped to hear.
We just went about our business saying, now look, it, a lot of things have to change. And so we're recommended that Carl put up half the cost. Now that's a big thing for us to ask for, but we think it's the right thing. And we didn't go and ask Carl how he was going to feel about it, and I don't know today how he feels about that.
Half the cost of a new open-air ballpark is estimated to be about $150 million, a larger proportion and amount than Pohlad has previously offered to put toward a new building. Twins President Jerry Bell read a draft of the committee's report, but says the team is not yet ready to respond to it.
It's an aggressive position that the committee is taking. And I think the Twins are going to have to take a little time to study this and digest the whole report, and we'll react to it after we've had the opportunity to do that.
The committee suggests the other half of a stadium cost be paid with revenue from existing taxes related to the ballpark. Without going into details, the group asserts that no new taxes would be needed if ballpark bonds were repaid using revenue from the payroll and income taxes on Twins players and staff, the sales taxes on tickets and concessions, the taxes paid by construction companies building the stadium, and similar revenue. Carla Blomberg, the other co-chair of Minnesotans for Major League Baseball, says such a plan would not hurt taxpayers.
Nobody's property taxes will be increased. Nobody is going to pay more in sales tax because of our proposal. There's not anything that's going to impact the specific taxpayer, and yet we get a great state-of-the-art ballpark.
3 years ago, state lawmakers rejected a similar proposal to apply ballpark-related taxes to construction costs. Some members of the citizens panel think a larger commitment from Pohlad and a greater sense of urgency will sway the legislature. But the committee also concludes that even a new ballpark is not enough to secure Minnesota's baseball future. The group says financial reform in Major League Baseball is also required. This is not a new suggestion, but some Minnesotans hope in the age of the $250 million shortstop, player salaries may finally have gotten high enough to spark a financial restructuring that will help less wealthy teams like the Twins through revenue sharing. Should Minnesota proceed with a new ballpark absent signs of financial change in the sport? Tom Reagan says that question was a conundrum for Minnesotans for Major League Baseball. Steering committee member Mitch Perlstein says Minnesota should be ready to build a ballpark as soon as baseball shows fiscal reform.
The hope is that the necessary steps to get things moving along are taken now. And if it comes to be that Major League Baseball does not get its house in order, then you just stop everything in its tracks. And you certainly don't actually appropriate any money, and you certainly don't put a shovel in the ground until Major League Baseball fixes its own problems.
A separate group of Twin Cities business leaders will soon issue a report on prospects for funding a ballpark primarily with private sector money. I'm William Wilcoxon, Minnesota Public Radio.
Well, joining us now to take your questions about the report is Carla Blumberg, a co-chair of the Twin Citizens panel. And if you'd like to join our conversation, here's the number to call, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Good morning, Ms. Blomberg. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Gary. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, so many other people seem so tired of this subject, and so many people seem so indifferent, frankly, to the fate of the Twins. Why did you get involved in this? What was your motivation?
Well, I would probably fall into the category that you just described 7 or 8 months ago. And I was asked to do a little study, and it was at that point presented as a committee that may meet for 4 or 5 meetings and over a period of 5 or 6 months, and we would do some research and study and analysis and come up with some recommendations. So I thought that was certainly worthwhile and that I probably would be a good candidate for that kind of review because I had such an unbiased opinion on baseball. So here I am.
Was it time well spent?
It was time well spent, and I am very proud of the report that this group has come up with. We've done a lot of study and research. The committee is an extraordinary group of very committed people to do this well, and they did.
Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball was once seen as our national pastime here in Minnesota. It was seen by community leaders at one time as a way to make Minnesota really a big league state, make the Twin Cities a big league community. Do you think that's still true? Is baseball still hold that central role in community life, or is it now become just another attraction that some people are interested in and most people aren't?
I heard all of the negative things that's been said about baseball, and I was skewed in hearing those things. And over the last 7 months, I've talked to hundreds and hundreds of people personally and beyond. I think it is part of the fabric. I'm amazed and impressed. When my son was playing T-ball and Little League, I spent many hours on the bench watching him, and my husband did the assistant coaching, and our daughters played around while they were playing. And it is. It's from young to old. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
I remember as a child fond memories of my dad and my grandfather listening to the Twins and on the radio, and that's a summertime afternoon. That's a summer early evening. It's a great memory, and I don't want to see it go.
Mm-hmm. What about Major League Baseball's role, though, as a, I suppose, for lack of a better term, kind of a development tool, both in terms of the kind of development it might spur locally, but more importantly, I suppose, the kind of national attention would bring to the Twin Cities. Is that still important, or have we outgrown the need for that?
I think that what we need to recognize is it's a community asset, and if you're not a fan, if you're not somebody who goes to baseball games on a regular basis, I think that you still, I don't go to the zoo. I did when my children were younger, and I may on occasion, but I love knowing that we can go to the zoo. I think that we need to look at baseball as not only a sport, but as a community asset for people that come to town and for people that make plans to come for a weekend and take in a ball game. And I think it's a critical part of that whole fabric.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of ballpark is your group envisioning?
We are envisioning a park that is a 40 to 45,000 seat stadium with seating that would accommodate good sight lines. And in fact, two field trips that we took in this process, one was to Houston to Enron Field and one was to Jacobs Field in Cleveland. And as a real novice to this, I have to tell you, I walked in and I thought, we've got to capture this and bring it home. if we could get people to see what it is to sit in the ballpark that is an open-air stadium and hear the crack of the ball, and you can almost feel and smell the leather of the gloves when you're in a park that's that intimate, and that the sight lines are so good that it's right there and you're part of the game, and the popcorn and the peanuts, and it's fabulous, and what a great way to spend an evening in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Any plans or any talk about a retractable roof, given Minnesota's weather problems in the spring and the fall?
Of course. I mean, of course, that was a consideration. It was something that we talked about, but we determined in what our end result was that that was something that needed to be investigated further to get actual costs at the next level, not at this level, because of the range of costs.
Mm-hmm. Now, as I understand it, the Twins are reviewing your report. Have you gotten any kind of initial feeling from Twins officials as to how they're going to respond to your report? After all, you are calling on Mr. Pohlad to invest significantly more money than he had previously indicated he was willing to invest.
Well, after they gasped, and yes, you're right, it is significantly more, but the Twins had the courage to allow this group and to fund this group to do their study, and now it's, I think they'll be okay. I don't know what they will agree and disagree with, but I know that they respect the process and they respect the individuals that came up with this report. And so now I am at that level of handing that respect over to them to do the analysis and to see how they can get involved in this program with the recommendations we've made.
Mm-hmm. The other big piece of the financing puzzle does involve public money. What has been labeled kind of the tax increment approach, that is to say the state would capture tax revenue that that your group argues wouldn't exist if it weren't for a new ballpark. That has been roundly rejected in the past. Do you get any sense that people are more willing to talk about it now than they were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
I hope they are, and I hope they respect the work of this group, because this is not a legislative body and it's not the Twins. It is an independent group of people from all over the state, and we looked at it all. We took this piece and we turned it around in all ways and think this is a great option. We're talking about an estimated park of $300 million. Our suggestion that if Pohlad puts in $150 million, that we can truly get the other $150 million from a couple of different ways. But none of the ways that we're recommending would include any increase in state sales tax or in state property or income tax. So nobody's affected.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the users. It's those that benefit from it and from the opportunity to be able to attend the games. And so we don't have to worry about people's property taxes being raised, not by $1, and yet we can still end up having a great park. And I don't know why there would be anything wrong with that. And I think maybe it hasn't been presented properly before.
Mm-hmm. Carla Blumberg is with us, co-chair of Minnesotans for Major League Baseball, a panel that was set up by the Minnesota Twins to take a look at ways to save Major League Baseball in the state of Minnesota. Their report is now out, and among other things, it calls on Carl Pohlad, owner of the Twins, to pay for half of a new ballpark, approximately, as Carla noted, about $150 of a $300 million stadium. The rest of the money would come from the revenues that would be generated at the ballpark itself. And the report also notes, though, that another key piece of the puzzle is that Major League Baseball itself solve its financial problems, noting that it would be difficult for the Twins to survive with or without a new ballpark unless Major League Baseball gets its act together. If you'd like to join our conversation, if you've got some questions for Carla Blumberg, give us a call here, 651-227-6000, 651-227-6000. Outside the Twin Cities, you can reach us toll-free, and that number is 1-800-242-2828, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. Meanwhile, besides Carla Blumberg's group, there's another group that's been meeting independently trying to figure out a way to build a new ballpark for the Twins. It's called New Ballpark, Inc. That group is expected to release its report in the next week or so, and joining us now from New Ballpark, Inc. is one of the members of the group, Dave Mona. Good morning, Mr. Mona.
Good morning to you. It's nice to be with you.
What is the specific focus of your group as opposed to Carla's organization?
Well, New Ballpark, Inc. is an outgrowth of concern in the business community that something could be done to take a look at the Twin situation. The initial thinking on it was to try to find a way to first examine the situation and then to find out if there would be a way to finance a new ballpark and that way would not include public money. So as I've listened to at least the most recent parts of your conversation with Carla, I think that these two groups are on quite similar paths.
Would you define that so-called tax increment approach as involving public money? Would that fall under the umbrella of public money, or would that be should be, in your mind, more properly thought of as privately generated money?
Well, that's a tough question to answer. There will be people who will argue very strongly on both sides of that, and clearly a lot of the money that the Twins generate would not be part of the state coffers if the Twins were to leave, so I think that part of the argument is legitimate. How well that will go over in St. Paul, you know, the direction that we've gotten from St. Paul, and I think Carla's group as well, is that we don't want to see the same old proposals bring us something new. Certainly the group that Carla co-chaired is bringing something new. I think New Ballpark, you mentioned a report that will be out. That's correct. What's happened at New Ballpark is that the city of Minneapolis convened a committee of 17 people who met over a period of time somewhat parallel with the meetings of Carla's group, heard from experts in the field. They have issued a draft of their report, which is being circulated internally. That draft will be presented to the city of Minneapolis later this month, and I've had a chance to look at it, and it's positive in every regard. It says that this is a resource that's worth preserving. They talk about a stadium with approximately 40,000 seat maximum. That's very similar to the Twins report. The price tag on the one that the New Ballpark group is looking at may be a little bit less than the $250 to $300 million range, but nevertheless somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm. In the old days, the business leaders, like the members of your group, would just get together and write out a check and build a ballpark in this instance. Why can't that happen now?
Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One is that the dollars are significantly larger than they used to be. Also, a lot of those companies, at the time you're talking about, when, for instance, when Met Stadium was built in the mid-50s, most of the companies that participated in that had 100% of their revenues and their concerns generated here in the Twin Cities area. Now we are in less and less a corporate headquarters community, and even where we are, corporate headquarters community, those businesses need to be concerned with revenues and communities all over the country and in many cases all over the world. So their focus has changed, but we do think that as part of the New Ballpark plan that they will be approached to step up. Part of the idea is looking at what amounts to some preferred stock that would have some yield to them, but could also generate in the neighborhood of $70 to $80 million. That is still being worked on, but that's part of the funding. Certainly a significant contribution from the Twins is contemplated by New Ballpark. And there may even be an element for the public to get involved if these investment type instruments can be put in place. There may be a chance for the public to become bondholders, just as my father was a bondholder in the mid-50s when Met Stadium was built, and the public had a chance to participate in that.
Last question for you, sir. Your public relations, chairman of Weber Shandwick International, recognized public relations guru around here. Has this battle already been lost in terms of public relations? People really do get their back up over this.
Well, there's no question that facilities funding for professional teams is a hot potato. It's one that doesn't go away, and it's one that has existed in every other major market. Generally, there have been two or three ideas that have been shot down, and eventually a way is found to do it. It's hard to believe that we will be so far out of step with other states, but I prefer to think that we haven't found the right mechanism yet, and I think these two groups are trying to help find a mechanism that, that gets it done. I think the message from the legislature is clear that there hasn't been enough creativity applied to it, and I think that in these two situations, the groups have worked long and hard to try to bring an approach that offers something new to the people who ultimately may or may not have to vote on it. In the case of a new ballpark, it's possible that it would not need any approval from the legislature, and of course I think a lot of people would breathe a sigh of relief if that were possible.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate your joining us.
You're welcome. Take care. Good luck.
Dave Mona, who is with New Ballpark, Inc., a group of business leaders who are looking at the issue of a new ballpark. Carla Blomberg is with us. She's the co-chair of Minnesotans for Major League Baseball. That's the group that the Twins organized to take a look at how to save Major League Baseball. Their report came out last night, and she's been good enough to join us today to take your questions on what the group found out. And let's go to a caller here from Princeton. Paul, you're up first. Go ahead, please.
Well, I've just said something about the players contributing. Well, you know, 24 or 25 guys, how much would they contribute? Plus the fact that it seems like about every 20 years we have to build a new stadium for these people, and it always has to be state of the art, and they never seem to be satisfied.
Okay, well, Carla, a couple of issues there, and let's take them in reverse order. First of all, let's assume that somehow a new ballpark were built. What's to say that, as Paul noted, 20 years down the line, the Twins would say, well, this isn't good enough anymore. We need a different park.
Well, I certainly couldn't answer what's going to happen 20 years from now. I wish I could. But I think that we're looking at something that is more traditional and stood with time. Fields like Wrigley Field. We're looking at making sure that we have infield seats that are accommodating to those that want to be in the infield. Currently, the Metrodome has only 6,000 infield seats versus like 13,000 at Camden Yards and other new parks because they're designed for baseball. The Metrodome was, at the time, thought to have a multi-purpose stadium was the way to go. And so it was designed for football, and then baseball was placed within it. And for the baseball fans, it's just not the same experience at all. And we feel that Minnesotans deserve that same baseball experience.
Mm-hmm. And what about Paul's point that Major League Baseball players, never mind the owners, the players, many of them are fabulously wealthy and stand to get wealthier still, I suppose, if all the teams have new ballparks and lots more revenue. Shouldn't we expect them to put up some money for a new ballpark?
I think that some of the reforms that they're talking about in Major League Baseball, based on taxes and on kind of a competitive balance tax, would take care of some of that, and that's why the reforms that are suggested from that report are so critical to our belief that Major League Baseball has to take care of those issues before we can put the shovel in the ground, as Mitch had said. But that doesn't mean we should wait, because with the wheels that grind as slowly as they do in this process, we need to get this process going as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we will benefit from those the taxes that are generated from those salaries. I mean, when Rodriguez is playing in Minnesota, we get his pro rata share of our 8% sales tax, income tax. So I don't know if the public's aware of that, but when teams are here, players are here, there is some taxation that's on those team members, no matter where they're from, that we capture.
We should note for people who don't follow the sport closely that Rodriguez is the shortstop who just recently signed a contract which will pay him $250 million to play for the Texas team. Kathleen, your comment, please.
Hi, good morning. I'm one of those people who indeed gets their backup. This just drives me crazy. How many times do they need to ask the people of Minnesota and have them say no and still keep coming back? It reminds me of the Republicans. You just keep saying something over and over and over again until hopefully people will believe it. I think that if any one of my politicians, whether it's in city council or in state government or no matter where, votes to put one penny of public money towards a twin stadium, they will lose my vote and I will work actively against them. This is not an independent commission that came up with her report. It was paid for by the Twins, for gosh sakes. I mean, it's just absurd that it keeps coming up over and over and over again. And I'm just really tired of it, and I would like it to go away.
Carla, care to comment? First of all, what about your independence from the Twins?
We have been extremely independent from the Twins. As I said earlier, I really commend their courage to say that they would be, as we understand, there's been no other group similar to this across the country, where the Twins went out to the citizens and allowed us to form this committee and said they would fund it and that they would respect what our opinion was. They're not agreeing to it. They had no idea, and if you had asked each of us around the table 8 months ago, how much do you think we would suggest that was brought to the table by the Twins, I don't know that we would even think it was feasible to come up with this number. So because the Twins supported it financially, they had no part of any of the decisions that were made here. And it was costly. It was costly to get consultants and to get some of the data that we needed to get, and somebody had to do it. But in response to Kathleen being tired of hearing it, we in polls have found that Minnesotans do not want baseball to go away. At the minimum, 60%. The issue has been on how it's funded, and that's where it's broken down.
Mm-hmm.
That's why our study was so clear and in the determination that if the POLADs come with $150 million, however they choose to bring that to the closing table, how much money that is to commit to this community for a stadium that's owned by the public, not owned by the POLADs. So they would be putting $150 million into this asset, and that's why we've come up with the other plan for the balance. So I hope Kathleen and others that are tired of hearing it recognize that you're not tired of hearing that it would be great for us to have a nice facility for Minnesotans to attend. The concern is what's it going to cost me, the taxpayer? And our suggestion is it's not going to cost you anything. So if you never go to the game, you don't have to worry about it. But Kathleen, if your friends or family want to go to the game, we think it's really important that they've got the opportunity to do it.
Carla Blomberg is with us, co-chair of Minnesotans for Major League Baseball. And we're talking this hour about a report that the group issued last night, taking a look at a possible way to build a new ballpark for the Twins and keep the team in town. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. We'll get to more of your calls in just a couple of minutes.
Secretary of Defense nominee Donald Rumsfeld will soon face confirmation hearings, but the more challenging hurdle will come if he gets the job. Then he'll have to modernize the U.S. military. Rumsfeld is on record as favoring a missile defense system, but some say the U.S. needs to redefine its defense priorities. I'm Juan Williams. We'll take a look at Bush's defense policies on the next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's today at 1 o'clock here on Minnesota Public Radio. By the way, just a reminder, Minnesota Public Radio relies on listeners to help pay our operating expenses, and we'd like to thank all of you who recently made a contribution. Your membership does matter. News headlines now. Here's Stephen John. Stephen?
Thank you, Gary. Scientists are defending the research that's led to the world's first genetically modified primate. Critics say the work is unnecessary and won't advance the fight against disease. But supporters say monkeys can give a better picture of how human disease develops than can mice and other lab animals. Donald Rumsfeld is defending his support for a U.S. missile defense system against attacks from Democrats. President-elect Bush's defense secretary Pick told a Senate panel the nation needs deterrence in an unstable world, but the panel's senior Democrat says it's too costly and too tough to develop. Stock prices are mixed on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrials are down 37 points at noon in New York. The Nasdaq was up 64 points. Should the Nasdaq close with an advance today, that would be three in a row for the tech-heavy index, its longest gain since Labor Day. Were Incorporated, an online education site, has shut down after failing to find a buyer or major investor. The Minneapolis-based company was founded in March of 1999. Were developed and sold online learning and training programs for parents, teachers, and schools. A spokesperson says the company has not filed for bankruptcy, instead plans to sell all its assets to raise money to repay employees and creditors. Freshman Senator Mark Dayton has received his committee assignments. The Senate Democratic leadership has named Dayton to the Ag Committee as well as the Armed Services Committee and the Rules Committee. Dayton had sought a seat on the Agriculture Committee. He says agriculture is key to Minnesota's economy and critical to the economic well-being of cities across the state. Across the state at this hour, mostly cloudy skies. There's a dense fog advisory for portions of the west into early this afternoon. There's a chance of light rain or freezing rain in the south and central. Highs in the mid-20s northwest to mid-30s southeast. Right now, 9 above with snow in War Road, 37 in Albert Lea. It's 32 in Duluth and 32 degrees in the Twin Cities. Gary, that's the latest from the newsroom.
Thank you, Stephen. 24 minutes before noon. This is Midday on Minnesota Public Radio, and our guest this hour is Carla Blumberg, co-chair of Minnesotans for Major League Baseball. That group issued a report last night on some possible ways that a new ballpark could be built for the Minnesota Twins, who would pay for it, and the rest. She's joined us this hour to talk about the report. And if you, again, if you'd like to join our conversation, 651-227-6000 or 1-800-242-2828. You might wait a couple of minutes to call in, because right now you'll get a busy signal. We have a full bank of callers, but as the line's clear, we'd like to add you to the list. John, go ahead, please.
Yes. I think we need to keep in mind that when there's any type of public taxation, whether it's direct or indirect, for support of these types of sports facilities, that it is tantamount to a transfer payment from those who are taxed to the owners of the teams. And personally, I don't like the idea of, say, a single mother of two making $8 or $9 an hour, barely getting by, and still contributing her taxes, albeit at a lower level, that money in essence gets transferred to billionaire owners of sports teams.
Okay.
I'm very skeptical, you might say cynical, when they say it, quote, won't cost the public anything.
Carla, at the heart of John's argument, and I guess at the heart of the argument that's been, or the debate that's been heard over this issue before, is the sense that even though some of this money, at least, that you're talking about capturing would not exist, other money would be spent elsewhere if it weren't spent at a ballpark, and thus it really does cost the public money indirectly. How do you respond to that?
I'm not sure what John said, and I didn't understand when he said that a single mother of two, that her taxes would get transferred to the owner. That's, maybe there's a misunderstanding of what we're referring to, because we clearly are referring to there would not be anything taken from that single mother of two.
Well, but the point, I guess, would be if somebody didn't, presumably you'd capture revenue from ticket taxes and the rest, or construction costs or what have you, and if it weren't on the ballpark, it would be somewhere else, and then that revenue somewhere else would go into the general coffers. I guess that's the base of the argument.
I don't have the exact dollar amount, but we were advised in the numbers that were compiled and were given to us, and they were based on an Anderson report that Arthur Anderson conducted in 97 and then the Twins updated, that what we're talking about is minuscule, is the number of, because we know that argument has been challenged. So if it's an entertainment, that they're going to go someplace else. The bulk of the money that we're referring to would come from a one-time construction tax for all the sales tax on materials, income tax on those labors, on the construction to be approximately $12 million. And then on the recurring taxes on the players and the teams, the team, which would be player and front office income tax, visiting team tax, the income taxes on the ballpark personnel, the hotel restaurant, on the visiting players, those are the estimates that we're using, and that number came to approximately $8.8 million. So it is not money that would even be here. It is not money that would be transferred someplace else. If a player doesn't play here, doesn't live here, you can't use that as a transfer of someplace else.
Okay. Rich, you're next.
Yes, good morning. I just have a strange feeling that even if you've got this new stadium, you can't fill the stadium you've got. the novelty of a new stadium isn't going to last more than one or two visits. And until you get teams that are affordable to maintain, Harmon Kilgerhard, if I recall right, never even made $60,000 a year. And now you got millionaire rookies. With salaries like that, no matter what we do, it's unsustainable. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's part of your report, that Major League Baseball has to clean up its act, is it not?
That's right. We're not disagreeing with what he's saying. Those reforms have to be in place.
Is there any realistic or any reason to believe that that's actually going to happen?
We have had assurances that there will, from the Commissioner of Baseball, from Bud Selig. The owners will be meeting next week for their regularly scheduled meeting. However, a presentation is being made by the commissioner to address some of these reforms. And so it's quite possible a week from now some of those reforms may already put into place. However, the Players Association, with their collective bargaining, that nobody can assure us until that's completed, and that begins now this year.
Mm-hmm. That raises another specter, of course. There is the possibility, baseball analysts say there's a good chance that by the end of October, there's going to be another lockout or strike, and Major League Baseball will be shut down again. Given the backlash that occurred the last time there was a strike, could baseball even survive another shutdown?
I don't know. I have no way of knowing, but I know that I think that the balloon has continued to get to its maximum size. So something has got to break and things have to change, and I think that that's what this next year is going to bring.
Mm-hmm. Dan, your comment, please.
Thanks, Gary. And Carla, I'd like to applaud you on your efforts. I really appreciate what you're doing. And to the people out there that are so closed-minded about this, Kathleen, I think what her name was, John, I mean, she's telling you it's not going to cost any money. I don't use the Guthrie Theater. I don't go to the zoo. When I want to read a book, I buy it. I don't go to the public library. And my tax dollars are being used for all these things, too. But I don't mind because I realize they are important for the community. And that's the same thing with the ballpark. Just please open your mind and your ears. Thank you.
Now, Dan, before you go, one significant difference, and that is that in this instance, certainly one of the primary beneficiaries of a new ballpark would be the ownership of the Minnesota Twins. Mr. Pohlad is a billionaire. Doesn't that change the nature of this to some degree? I mean, as opposed to, well, there's the Guthrie, it's kind of a non-profit deal, and you've got your public libraries and so on and so forth. Doesn't the fact that this is a privately owned business change the dynamic of this discussion?
I don't feel that way at all, because if it wasn't for billionaire owners and millionaire owners, where would the rest of us be? I mean, you're going to have that. You got to put that aside and look at the benefits it brings to the community. In fact, Carla, I think one thing that would help your cause is if you could show what the team brings in for revenue to the Minnesota as a state. Don't look at how much the players are making right now per se, but look at what does it bring in financially to the community and show people the numbers. I guarantee you, the Guthrie is nonprofit. Does it bring in the revenue that a professional sports team does? Look at the Vikings. Look at how everybody is wrapped up with what the Vikings are doing right now, and how it just kind of brings you together as a community. Same thing with the Twins when they were in the World Series. It's just something that we cannot afford to lose.
Carla?
I want to just applaud everything Dan is saying, so there's not much that I can add to it, because he is already where it took me several months to get to by doing the study. And I think he's absolutely right. And his suggestion that we show what is brought into the community is really a good one, that we lay that out, because we did look at it. We looked at their contributions in the community through charitable endeavors, and which are far greater than any of us recognize, because it's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Molitor program. I think it's Fields for Kids. And Kirby Puckett, as everybody knows, has always been a great community advocate for kids and a great role model for a lot of kids. And it just goes on and on. I don't want to name players and eliminate others, but there are so many things that the Twins do for the community that's quiet that I think maybe it is time, Dan, that we bring some of those things forward in addition to what you're referring to on the revenue that's brought in and the number of games that are played and how it brings people in just emotionally. I think he's absolutely right. I still have a Homer hanky and proud to be a Minnesotan. And I think all of us remember those photo shots of Kirby and in the series. They're great.
Mm-hmm. Well, that does raise the issue, though, back to the Metrodome. The Metrodome was home to two world championships, and the Twins were the first American League team to draw 3 million fans in the Metrodome. They seemed to do very, very well when they had a good team. Why couldn't they just stay at the Metrodome, put out a good product, and they'd fill the Metrodome and make a lot of money?
Well, at the time, the Twins were in the mid-range in revenue, and now they are at the bottom. And it is because of the limit that they can get from the Metrodome. You know, the Twins don't get the Twins group does not get the revenue from parking or from signage or suites. That's not theirs. I mean, they're a tenant, so they don't get any of that. And so it's a limited market. They can't increase that income and that revenue. And so when they did win the series in those 2 years, they were in the middle of the pack. And now I think they're like number 28 out of 30 teams.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a big difference, and that's what we're trying to get them back to. And also since that time, there's been 17 new ballparks played. So the players are playing in much better parks across the country, and the fans are watching them in better parks.
Patrick, your comment, please.
Yeah, hi, Gary. Carla, question for you and your committee. Curious if you folks had an opportunity to investigate the possibility of going public with stocks and so forth, such as the Packers have.
Well, I guess there's some laws the Packers have been grandfathered in, but there are some laws that restrict some of that. But we did talk about opportunities for public ownership and felt that if that was something that was viable, that would be coming out of the equity of the owners, and so should probably be the part that's considered in the owner's contribution. So in other words, if POLAD, looking at our proposal, thought that it was a proposal worth considering, and they made, if they chose to do public ownership within that $150 million, that would be at their option. So Patrick, we did look at it, but we didn't look at it in great detail as being the solution. That would be just one possible segment, but that was not the overall solution.
Dimitri, your comment?
Oh, Gary, this is a great show. I want to toss a couple things in. One, I completely agree with Kathleen that this is kind of funny to call us an independent commission, and when Carla says that we're only funded by the Twins, they're not involved in any way. Well, funding is pretty much the biggest way you can be involved.
Well, setting aside whether or not the definition of independence, there is they have the recommendations, so let's look at the recommendations here and whether they make any sense or not. And
sure, as far as the recommendations, well, and all this will be debated around a lot, I think it doesn't make sense. I think by far the biggest benefactor of a new stadium is Carl Pohlad, so I think at the very least he should put in a half the cost. If you're the biggest benefactor, why don't you put in the biggest contribution as well?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and he would be. If this proposal was adopted, he certainly would be.
Is there any, did your group give any thought to the idea that one of the ways that owners traditionally benefit from a new park, beyond the flow of revenue while it's being used, is when they go to sell the franchise, it oftentimes is worth a lot more than it was before the park was built. Any talk about some way for the public to recapture at least part of the increased value of a franchise?
Yes, and that is part of our recommendation list. So we've been talking about little pieces of the recommendations. We actually have 14 recommendations in this process. One of them is that the negotiated lease terms with the team on the new stadium would include assurances that they remain in Minnesota. So if they did sell the team and leave Minnesota, that there would be a great penalty and recovery of costs for the public. The other is that there would be a return on the investment. So based on what we're saying, it would be covered in there. So really, you should look at all of the recommendations and should read the report in its entirety, because I'd hate to have pieces like that are so important missed.
Mm-hmm. David, your comment?
Yeah, I guess I'm looking forward to reading the report, and I really think it's it got some elements in there that are pretty good to chew on. I think the main problem we've got right now is that it's dead on arrival so far as the public is concerned, because you're only asking a billionaire to put up half the cost. You are keeping in place all of the inequities that that are present. That is, unless and until baseball changes its financial situation, this is going to go absolutely nowhere, and so be it. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything, and again, we should note that your report does make it clear that you folks think that Major League Baseball needs to change. Anything, though, that your group thinks should happen as we await Major League Baseball's future response to revenue sharing and the like?
Right. We think that it should proceed as if they're going to make the changes. Because, and that was long debated, and our group seriously considered those issues of Major League Baseball. However, we opted that there's basically two options. We can just stop now and not do anything until those reforms are in place, which could be a year, which puts us back another year before we go any further. Or do we move forward on this with the assumption that those changes will be made? And then if they don't, we say stop. And we feel there's far more to lose by stopping now than it is by moving forward, and if necessary, then stopping. But I really would like your listeners and those that have called in who keep expressing their concern about the funding. The people that are out there don't know who I am, and they may not know individually who these members are of the committee, but I have been in nonprofits and worked with boards for the last 20 years. And when I have a committee that I trust is doing some work and bringing a recommendation to us as a board, I put a lot of faith and trust in those individuals as the integrity of the individuals come forward in making a proposal or making a recommendation that really is in the best interest of whatever the subject is. And I think that's where we are, is take a look at this group of 135 people. The 35 of us who were on the steering committee that met with 17 meetings over the last 7 months, that these are people who are quite independent, and I'm not going to list some names and not have others, but that list of names is part of the report. Look at these people and then challenge the independence. It can't happen. Because when you are, you're challenging me and you're challenging every other individual on there, saying that we aren't and didn't do what we said we've done. And I didn't know Mr. Pollad, and when I was asked to serve on this committee, I had very little knowledge of baseball, but I've studied it, and I've studied the whole problem and think that this is a good solution, and I hope Minnesotans do too.
Any concern that to the extent your report will get some consideration, it's going to get swamped by the Vikings' push for a new stadium?
It may, but the Vikings have got 10 years on a lease, and they've got a football stadium. We're looking for a baseball park, and we've only got 3 years to get it done, or they're out of there. I mean, their lease is over. It's right now just year to year.
Mm-hmm. What happens next with your study? The Twins go over it, and then what happens now?
The Twins will look at all of the entire report. They will look at the recommendations we've made. They'll digest it, and they'll make their decision on what they feel that they can or can't do, and then they'll come back with whatever it is that they feel that they're going to present. Beyond that, from the Twins, I don't know. We then will have our report public. It will be on a website that I would be happy to give. It will be on there next week, so please be patient and don't look for it today. But it will be on a website because it just was completed last night, so edits are being made. That website is Minnesotans for Major League Baseball, abbreviated with MN, the number four, MLB. So MN4MLB.com.
Okay.
We also have it available to anybody, and we will be willing to talk to communities, I think, and hit the road if they would like us to give some explanations and understandings of our report.
Carla Blomberg, we're out of time, but I appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Carla Blomberg, who is co-chair of Minnesotans for Major League Baseball, a group that is out with a new report on a possible way, from the group standpoint, possible way to save the Twins and build a new ballpark in Minnesota. 5 minutes now before 12 o'clock.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 11th of January, 2001. It's the birthday of the novelist Alan Paton, born in Pietermaritzburg, South Africa, in 1903. He was running a government reform school for young black boys when he wrote his first and most famous novel, Cry the Beloved Country. It came out in 1949. The success of it allowed Paton to resign from his government post and devote himself to writing. His second novel was Too Late, The Failurope. Alan Paton, who said, "I could have made better use of my life, but I did try hard to do one thing. That was to persuade white South Africa to share its power for reasons of justice and survival." It's the birthday of the philosopher and psychologist William James, born New York City, 1842, who, during his long tenure on the faculty at Harvard, became one of the founders of the philosophical school known as pragmatism, which William James explained by saying, "The ultimate test for us of what a truth means is the conduct it dictates or inspires. So truth was not an abstract idea. It could only be judged by practical, concrete results." He argued that the truth of a religious belief could only be determined by the emotional satisfaction that it provided. William James was the man who coined the term stream of consciousness to describe the fluid, shifting state of ideas in the human mind. He was the older brother of the novelist Henry James. It's the birthday of the founder of Cornell University, Ezra Cornell, born in Westchester Landing, New York, 1807. He grew rich as the business partner of Samuel F.B. Morse, the inventor of the telegraph. Established Cornell in Ithaca in 1868 with an endowment of $3 million. It was on this day in 1770 Benjamin Franklin introduced rhubarb to America. He was the American ambassador in London, and he sent a crate of it to his friend John Bartram, the botanist. Rhubarb was native to Central Asia. It had been introduced in Europe by traders. The rhubarb Franklin sent to America had come to London from Siberia. It first appeared in American seed catalogs in 1829 and soon became a popular ingredient in pies. John Bartram, the botanist, was also responsible for introducing kohlrabi and poinsettias to America. And it's the birthday of the founding father, Alexander Hamilton, born in the British West Indies, 1755, came to New York City when he was 17. He was a vocal advocate for a strong central government, and he wrote more than half of the Federalist Papers and became the leader of the Federalist Party, was Washington's first Secretary of the Treasury. Here's a poem for today by David Wagner, entitled Lost. Stand still. The trees ahead and bushes beside you are not lost. Wherever you are is called here, and you must treat it as a powerful stranger, must ask permission to know it and be known. The forest breathes. Listen, it answers. I have made this place around you. If you leave it, you may come back again, saying, here. No two trees are the same to raven. No two branches are the same to wren. If what a tree or a bush does is lost on you, you are surely lost. Stand still. The forest knows where you are. You must let it find you. A poem by David Wagner, Lost, from his collected poems 1956 to 76, published by Indiana University Press, used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, brought to you by the people at 21NorthMain.com, where book lovers find 13 million gently read classics, bestsellers, and rare masterpieces on the web at 21NorthMain.com. Production assistance from Tom Kubasik. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch. Regional broadcast.